Hello. I want to welcome you to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. I'm Tom Cooper, and I'm so glad you've joined me for this lesson. Today, what we're talking about is team strengths. Lead Yourself First is your personal growth program. My mentor, John Maxwell, says all players have a place where they add the most value. And Lead Yourself First is your system to help you become part of an amazing team and to see the strengths in the team members around you so that you and your team can produce at the highest level. Each of us likes to believe that we are the key person, that the company couldn't win without us. And it's true that having key players is a big deal. It's important to overall success. But understanding the value of team members is going to lead you to more and greater success. Now, if you're thinking about maximizing your performance and the value that you deliver to the organization, Seth Godin wrote a book a while back called Linchpin. And I'm a fan. I think it's a good, solid book. And each of us, even if we're not at the lead of the organization, the top part of the organization, we can be a linchpin, somebody who's making a difference in the organization. But recognizing this, that some people, some teams perform at a higher level than other people. And why do they do that? Because they understand and they value the team members and the team strengths. And sometimes we get frustrated. I certainly got frustrated years ago when I felt like our bosses weren't as smart or as talented as I was, at least in my not-so-humble estimation. But they are the boss. How did they get to be the boss? They know things we don't know. And there's good news. I discovered over my career that there were critical skills that everybody could learn. And that they once you acquire these skills, you can improve in leadership and influencing other people and how to effectively get things done with other people. And I wish somebody had told me when I was younger, which is why I'm so passionate now about sharing these ideas. Now, before we jump into the lesson, you know what I'm going to say. If you've listened to a few of these lessons, you know for sure. I'm going to ask you, how are you going to act? How are you going to act at the end of this lesson? ACT is an acronym. Apply, change, teach. What's something you can apply? An idea from today that you're going to put into practice. Something you can change. I was doing it one way before. Now I'm going to do it a different way. Or T, teach. Not on a call like this, but thinking about who do I know who needs to know this idea. I'm telling you, the more you share, the more you will grow. It is in your best interest to take the ideas that you are bringing into your mind and heart and share them with other people. So what we're going to be doing today is we're going to talk about working as a team and the strengths that you have and the strengths that other people have. And I've been looking forward to this lesson because I know that one is too small a number to achieve significance. There's nothing of substance, of depth, or importance that can be accomplished by one person alone. Teamwork is the key, and no team is made up of superstars who can all do everything equally well. Over the next few minutes, we're going to be digging into some very important and valuable ideas about team strengths, and I'm going to give you some actionable ideas that you can put into practice right away that'll make a difference for you and for your team. But maybe for you, you're going to want some help putting this into practice, and I've got a tool that is extremely useful at doing that, and at the end of this lesson, I'm going to share with you a way to do that. Fair enough? Now, as I mentioned, today we're talking about teams and how we need to recognize something that John Maxwell calls the law of the niche. All players have a place where they add the most value. It's true. Each team requires lots of different kinds of skills. Even if you're great at one thing, you might be not so great at other things. And seeing and knowing and valuing the contributions of others, it's foundational to growing your overall capacity as a team. And unfortunately, we often overvalue the things we're great at, and we devalue the things that other people are great at. You know, because what I was doing is more important than whatever it is you're doing, that my contributions are more significant, more valuable, more helpful than yours. And especially if that's something I'm not particularly good at, I might say, well, yeah, but that's not that important. That's not that valuable. What I'm doing really, really matters. Years ago, I was working with a team, and we had some team members who were amazing at writing software and others who were not so great at that. And the software people, if they were being honest, they kind of felt like that the non-software people were useless. At the same time, what did the software people do? Well, they needed to know what kind of software to create. But did the software folks like talking to, you know, actual people? Not really. People were confusing and messy, emotional, and they were self-contradictory, and they were frustrating. The software folks were not big fans of understanding the business problems or the business people. Why should they bother with that? There was always somebody to tell them that stuff. But at the same time, they really didn't appreciate that the people who helped them know what was needed, that those people were delivering value, at least as much value as the software itself. And as a result, the software developers tended to treat those team members with less respect than they deserved, and it was painful to watch. Where would those software developers have been without someone to go talk to people, to understand and document what was needed, and then to help train the users once the software was actually created? That's what John Maxwell's talking about in this law of the niche, that all players have a place where they add the most value. All players have a place where they add the most value. And if you find yourself not clear on the value being delivered by other team members, you might need to be reminded of this law, the law of the niche. So let's talk about different types of strengths that team members may have. Some people are great at moving fast and making decisions. Even if they're not perfect decisions, they make decisions quickly. Some people are great at connecting with people. Some people are great at getting tasks done smoothly and efficiently. Some people can make sure that processes are fair and work is evenly spread out across the team. Some people are outstanding at getting the details exactly right every single time. And some people are good at more than one of those things. But here's the deal. No one is great at them all the time. And every team needs a variety of skills, a variety of strengths that they bring to the problems you're solving at work. And the fact is that teams with diversity of gender, ethnicity, culture, and even cognitive ability, that's brain power, outperform teams that are more alike. I want to say that again. The fact is that teams with a diversity of gender, ethnicity, culture, and even cognitive ability outperform teams that are more alike. If you expect a team of individual superstars to be amazing, that's a bit of a fable. In our culture, we've all seen those so-called dream teams of amazing players who cannot seem to execute. It turns out, and the research is really strong on this, that having a variety of strengths allows the team to think differently about problems and to come up with solutions that are a better overall fit. I was working with a team recently where one of the management team members was strong at making decisions. Let's call that guy Alex. Alex was good at finding a path forward and taking immediate action. Alex had a clear voice in the storm, and he's quick to get things moving again when they go off track. And one of the other team members had different strengths, and let's call her Anusha. Anusha and Alex had a lot of conflict. Where Alex was quick to jump in, Anusha took stock of the situation before acting. Where Alex was loud and out front, Anusha was more quiet and more tied into the needs of the team than Alex was. Alex was quick and direct. He moved fast and he made decisions. Anusha worked with a more deliberate pace and made sure that the team members had what they needed in order to succeed. Much like those software developers, Alex felt like Anusha was useless. She was slow. She wouldn't jump in and do things. When she was around, he found he always had to jump in and fix things because she would not act. But here's the deal. When Anusha did make decisions, when Anusha did take action, she did it in a way that the team members liked better. A lot better. Alex was likely to get stuff done, but he would leave a trail of dead bodies behind him. Completed tasks, quick decisions, and massive action led to results, and he didn't value anything other than measurable results. And the team could tell that to him, they were just cogs in the machine. As far as Alex was concerned, one person was as good as another. I was talking with the leader in a small organization, and he said that the boss had actually said to him, "People are like batteries. When they get used up, I replace them." Oh my goodness. That'd be a terrible, terrible place to work. And Alex sort of treated his people that way. Anusha had a set of skills that Alex found useless. She was able to think about the people side of things. She cared about people, and she could see the impact on the team when decisions were made, and she could see how procedures and policies might be seen as unfair. And she looked for ways to think through decisions before taking action. It was true that she took longer to get started on taking action, but her actions led to better long-term results. Activity is not accomplishment. Activity alone is not accomplishment. Being busy isn't delivering results, no matter what Alex thought. And Anusha understood that naturally better than Alex did. Now, people are different, and different is not wrong. Just because someone does things in a different way, it doesn't make them wrong. Alex's key strength in moving fast and making decisions confidently and directing people, that had paid off well for him. He'd been able to thrive in that fast-paced environment. But those strengths, when he leaned on them too heavily, they led him to overlook some really important things. And that was the impact on the people on the team. Now, Anusha's strength of thinking about the impact on people and keeping things fair and equitable, they led to her success, too. They're both managers. They're both in leadership positions, right? Her people strength was great, but if she took too long to assess people impact and didn't take action quickly enough, that would lead to lingering problems. And that's what we're talking about. We're finding that sweet spot of maximizing the strengths of the people on the team. Both Alex and Anusha added value to the team, and both of them had weaknesses that limited their effectiveness. I'll even go one step farther. I'll say that each of them, when they used their strength too much, that strength became a weakness. Now we'll talk about another team. There was one brilliant and dynamic person on that team. Let's call him, I don't know, Tom Cooper. And Tom worked with Natalie. And Natalie was an engineer's engineer, degree from Virginia Tech, clear and precise and logical mind. Now Tom, he was great at connecting with people, being verbal and winning people over to his way of thinking. He was good at the people stuff. He could make decisions and take risks that could lead to big payoffs. And Natalie thought, well, if she was honest, she thought Tom was broken, defective even, that his mind was a mess because from her experience, Tom was flighty. He spouted off ideas that were half-baked. He shifted gears so quickly that she couldn't tell where he was going next. From her point of view, Tom had ADD on steroids. And by contrast, Natalie was methodical, logical, detailed, and her facts were solid. Her analysis was accurate, and she could come up with complete solutions to complex problems. Her systems and solutions were accurate. They were exactly right every single time. How could it be that these two, who were so different, how could they work together? They were exact opposites, right? Well, it's true. They were opposites. And each one did tend to drive the other one a little bit crazy. Tom thought, why does Natalie constantly shoot down my ideas? It's like she thinks there's a prize for killing the most about my ideas the fastest. And Natalie liked Tom personally, but she found him very frustrating. Not only were his ideas flighty, but his facts? What facts? It's as though Tom thought that close enough was good enough, as if they were playing a game where accuracy didn't matter. Didn't he know in our business that accuracy was critical? Tom had strengths that were important to the business, and Natalie did too, but their strengths were different, and both were important. Tom had weaknesses and differences from Natalie that made her crazy, and Natalie had weaknesses too. If she was honest, she had to admit that she wasn't great at making quick decisions, and when she did make a decision, she found herself constantly reanalyzing those decisions to see if she had done the best thing, if she had made the optimal choice. Now, eventually, Tom and Natalie learned to appreciate their differences, and they developed a partnership at work that made them a really strong team. But what did it take for them to be able to work together really smoothly? Well, they each took a personality profile called a DISC assessment. A DISC is a system that says people are different, but they're predictably different, that we're different, and different is not wrong, it's just different. So let's go over the different letters in DISC. As I do, I want you to look to see if you see yourself in these descriptions, and maybe you'll start to get some insights about somebody else too. But let's start with you. Start thinking about that, and then make some notes as we go along. First, let's talk about a D. Ds are direct. They are to the point. They focus on delivery, delegation, and driving toward results. In fact, results are all that matter to the D style. They're fast-paced. They have a bent toward action. They'll quickly step in to fill in if they feel there is a gap in leadership. They will make decisions quickly, even if the decision is not great. Any decision is better than no decision. Ds have zero problem having conflict if that's what it takes to get to a decision and deliver results. Ds love to work with people who are loyal, and they do worry about being taken advantage of by other people. Now, you think about the four people I've talked about in today's lesson. Can you think of who sounded like a D? Alex is a hardcore D. He's almost off the charts. Now, let's talk about I's. I's are influencers. They love people. They love communication. They love interacting with other people. They are seen as nature's extroverts. They're spontaneous. They're friendly. And they're often in the spotlight. They're active. They are emotional. They love to encourage others. They have endless ideas, and they have a story about everything. They're great at starting new things, but they're not great at finishing. They love being with people, and they despise routine. They love people, and they fear rejection, and they fear loss of approval from other people. Now, in the four people that I mentioned today, Alex, Anusha, Tom, and Natalie, can you think of who might be the I in those people? Well, I hope you got that I'm the I. I mean, I even use my name in the story, right? So how about S's? A classic S, D-I-S-C, right? The S. A classic S is team-oriented. They are great at landing the plane. They finish the projects that they start, unlike the I's, right? They S's get things to the finish line. They're loyal. They work best in a team environment. They're easygoing, and they're agreeable. They work best at a predictable pace, and they're often good listeners. S's really don't like confrontation. It's very painful for an S to have a confrontation with somebody. So in our story about Alex and Anusha, Anusha is our S. And finally, let's talk about C. C's are conscientious. They're detail-oriented. They're logical and analytical. They might say, spontaneity, can't we schedule that? I've actually had one say that to me. C's are planners. They treasure elegance and perfection. They are very careful in the things that they do, and they do not want to be criticized, and that's one of the reasons they're so careful to make sure that all the information they put forward is correct and verified and validated. Now, people are different, but they're predictably different. And we need people with different skills to support us, to deliver those great results, and to make our teams really successful. Now, maybe you could see the D, the I, the S, or the C in yourself. I want you to turn the corner now, and I want you to think a little bit about other people. I's and S's tend to be more focused on the people side of things. And D's and C's, well, they tend to be more focused on the task side of things. If you see somebody as being either task-oriented or people-oriented, that can help you guess kind of where they are. I's and S's are people-focused. D's and C's are task-focused. Then the other dimension is pace of work. So D's and I's are more fast-paced. They're less patient. And C's and S's work at a more predictable pace. So if you can see two things about the other person, you can guess where they might be on the scale. Tasks focused versus people focused, and the other is fast versus predictable pace. If you're fast and task oriented, that's a D. If you're fast and people oriented, you're probably an I. If you're slower and task oriented, that's a C. And if you're slower paced and people oriented, you're probably an S. Once you understand more about how people are wired, how they prefer to organize and perform work, you can begin to deal with their predictable differences. And I want to just take a minute and go over some tips about how to deal with different types. If you're communicating with a D, here's some tips. These are not patient. You need to be brief, be brilliant, and be gone. Ask what about results. Find out what they're measuring, right? Not how do you want it done. They want to focus on those results. If you want to talk about a problem, get to the point quickly and outline how the problem impacts results. They don't care about your feelings. How does the problem impact results? If you're working with an I, let them talk. They have lots of words to get out. You want to give time for them to make a personal connection. For an I, time to socialize with them is not wasted time. Now, you might need to limit it somewhat because I's tend to get so focused on the people side that they don't necessarily land the plane. And I think you might need to kind of rein them in a little bit, but you do need to give them some space. If you're dealing with an I, don't give them too many details at once. And I know this is significant in my life. If you give me too many details, my eyes glaze over and I fall over dead. You can follow up with details in writing because I's do get overwhelmed and then they'll forget those details. And multiple short conversations with an I are more impactful than long conversations. If the other person is an S, try this. Create a friendly tone when you interact with them. Connect with them as a person. What do they care about? What are the things outside of work that matter to them? They're people-oriented. You got to be careful not to be overly aggressive because they may interpret the word aggressive differently than you. You might feel like you were just being assertive, and they would say, no, you were being pushy. Help them understand the goal and everybody's role. Not only what are we trying to accomplish, but who is going to do what on the team. You give them process time to work through changes in plans. They can do that, but they need some time to work on that. And my favorite, C's are my favorite. I love working with C's. Here's some ideas. First, they need details, and I mean all of the details. They need you. And I mean this too, seriously, they need you to confirm your facts. If you mess up a detail, they will know. And that will hurt your work with them because they'll feel like you are not a reliable source of information. You need to take the time to be precise in your explanation. And you need to plan time to be patient and to answer their questions. I had a team member once, very high C, and he made me nuts because when I would start to work with him, I would say, here's what I want you to do, go work on it. He would say, wait a minute. And he would say, I have a question. And he would ask me, I don't know, it felt like a billion questions. Now, once I'd answered his questions for him, he would go off and he would deliver the results and they would work. He was so good at making sure that he had all those pieces right. Now, I was frustrated because I am less patient than that. But working with him, learning his strengths, made a huge difference. All right. It's almost time for your personal action plan. As you're getting ready for that, I want to share with you some thoughts from today's lesson. First, people are different, but they're predictably different. And different is not wrong. Remember the law of the niche. All players have a place where they add the most value. As you think about that, what value do you bring to the group? What value do your strengths bring to the team? And for that person, especially that person that frustrates you, what value do they bring to the team? And if you can't find it, you make it your mission to find it because they are probably bringing value that you don't understand. And you've got to make sure you got clarity about that. Difference not wrong, and their strength might be an area where you are weak. Is the person direct, to the point, and focused on results? Probably a D. Are they people-oriented and super friendly? They might be an I. Are they a great team player and they deliver projects when they said they would? Might be an S. And if they're conscientious to make sure that they are careful to get the details right, they might be a C. So for your action plan, I want you to think about what can you apply, change, or teach. What if you just had a conversation with a coworker and said, you know, I heard this lesson and I think I'm kind of this. What do you think you might be? Now, for you, you're thinking, I'd like to learn more or I want to spend some more time on this topic. I'd like to offer you a DISC assessment. If you just want the 30-page personalized custom report, that's just $97. It's a powerful report. It's the full Maxwell Method of DISC report. You'll be astonished at what you learn about yourself in this booklet that is totally focused on you, about how you prefer to work and how you prefer to communicate. It's a bargain at just $97. You might want a personalized debrief. And if that's the case, then that's the full Maxwell Method of DISC report, and then a debrief with me, and that's $197. And I'll explain the results, and I'll answer all the questions you have about the report and guide you to an action plan based on what you've learned. And finally, I offer a team workshop. That's just $249 a person. It includes the report and group training where we go over the results, what they mean, and the impact on team dynamics, how you work as a team, where the team's strengths are, where the team challenges are, how to improve communication as a team, and so much more. If that sounds interesting, drop me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com. That's tom@brighthillgroup.com. We'll get it set up. Thank you for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson. And I am looking forward to hearing from you next time.